Go. It's about to be a jovial 60 minutes, my dude. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Chase. Of all the places, and you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Chase. Of all the places. Been with the dynasty, but does she like me? Feel like a plumber sleeping, now that's a pipe dream. For the right fee, I might be entitled to the title. Be on top like the cherry of an ice cream. Sundays, that's the one day I can complain, never complain. Cause I know the boys gon' drop a pod, prop up my squad so I can talk a lot. But here we go again, it's a new year. Rookies flowing in, it's some new tears. Who here to do sphere? Bounce bells off of their chest like boutonnieres. It's a new era, happy hour, yeah. Let me ask you this, are you trying to get picks? Are you trying to get rich? Are you trying to get ships? Then you're trying to get this. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Chase. Of all the places, and you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Chase. Of all the places.
Well, guys, welcome on into Chasing Points, I guess. Damn it.
We'll do our best.
Oh, God, man. I guess we're here to recap a show or something, or recap the week. I don't even know. Oh, I don't even watch football. I don't even know what I'm doing. What am I doing on here? What the hell am I doing on? Thanks a lot, Tyler.
You're entertaining the masses. That's what you're doing.
That's what she said. Entertaining the masses. You get it? I don't know if I'm allowed to make this kind of jokes. Oh, man, guys. Tyler's going to fire me once again. What else is new every single week, guys? We had a really strange but awesome week, didn't we? Like, it was so unique. It was up in the air.
Yeah, it was wild. I guess it was like, of all the other weeks that we've had, you know, random scorers, this was a week where we had probably like the most random scorers of fantasy relevance. So
it was insane. There was like blowout after blowout, and then blowouts that you thought were going to like stay as blowouts didn't turn out to be blowouts, and then the blowouts weren't even actually blowouts because other teams caught up. It was just weird. It's weird. Oh man, what game do we want to even kick this off with? Because Tyler, like I said, is just throwing us the wolves at us talking. So,
well, I feel like if you know Tyler's in here, he obviously wants to hear about his DeAndre Swift guy. So maybe we start with Lions and Jaguars. I don't know.
DeAndre Swift breakout week, people. This is what I was telling you about. I was waiting for it, and I am more than excited to sit there and talk about DeAndre Swift. But before I get going, let's go ahead and have you talk about it first.
Well, I guess I'm probably not as fired up as you two, but that's only because I couldn't get any shares of DeAndre Swift. So I've tried kind of passively to get him on some of my teams. I didn't get him in any rookie drafts this offseason. Didn't have any success. Actually, this week, you know, I saw a lot of people saying breakout coming. And I'm thinking, this is really, you know, once they have the breakout, good luck getting him. So I'm like, all right, sooner rather than later, he's going to have a good game. I couldn't get him on any teams. So, you know, I guess I'm a little less invested than you guys are. But it's good to see the Lions finally doing the right thing and getting their best player the ball. And wouldn't you know, he's actually pretty good.
Dude, he was very, very good this week so far. And, oh my God, the fact that the Lions actually got to utilize him was just exciting. It was invigorating. I mean, I was sitting there and it was like, I want to say like going into the second half or so, Adrian Peterson had like 8 carries for 16 yards. Meanwhile, DeAndre Swift was sitting there with like 7 carries for 56 yards. And I was like, what are they doing? Give him the ball. Why are they not giving him the ball more often? And then they did. And then great things happened. And it was magic.
Great things happen. Now, yeah. do we trust that coaching staff to keep doing that? I don't know. But at least for this week, it looked nice.
It did. It was very, very nice. And unfortunately, since Tyler just threw us to the wolves, I don't have my information coming up for the upcoming schedule, Tyler. But no,
for
it was
who?
Great, man.
Detroit?
For Detroit.
I got you, buddy.
Yeah. Do you have it in front of you right now, or you want me to keep talking while you look it up?
I have it in front of me. So they've got Atlanta coming up next week. That's a nice matchup. Colts after that, Vikings, Washington, Panthers, takes you through the end of pretty much the end of November. So
outside of Washington, that sounds pretty sexy, right? And maybe the Colts. The Colts, they didn't do too hot this week, right? But yeah. I guess they shut down Mixon to an extent.
Yeah, he went out injured a little bit. But yeah. Still, if they use – I mean, I think Swift has shown, too, that he, coming even into this week, he's been efficient on not a ton of touches. So, I mean, yeah, we would love for him to get 20 to 25 touches, but if they just please get him the ball 12 to 15 times a game, he'll do something with that. He's dynamic. And we finally got to see today a little bit more of what we'd seen glimpses of so far the first month or so of the season.
Yeah, in other words, guys, if you're starting up a dynasty redraft in the middle of the season, you know, week 7, he's the 101 pick, right? He's the 101 pick, right? Right? I love it, man.
I guess if you've got the 101, yeah, go for it.
I am so hyped up. I am beyond hyped up on DeAndre Swift. I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. What's up, Hollywood Titan? He's in our group chat. What's going on, guys? Excited for this week. It was just a great week. It was a great week overall. So let's go ahead and hop on to, of course, your team, right? The Bengals, because we just brought it up. We might as well talk about it. Yep. You know, what happened over there in Indy and Cincinnati this week?
I mean, non-fantasy related, just some poor coaching stuff going on there. But I mean, I was actually fantasy-wise interested because it was supposed to be the Jonathan Taylor breakout against the terrible Bengals defense. Then all of a sudden, negative game script is here, and you're like, is this Nyheim Hines time? I think they got down, the Colts got down 21 to nothing, then they were down 24-7 later on. And you saw Hines come in right before the half, and it was more of like a 3 minute, there's about 3 minutes left. So they were trying to move the ball down the field. And I kind of wondered if they were going to stick with Hines more than they should. And I mean, it turns out, I mean, Jonathan Taylor didn't have a huge game on the ground, 12 carries, 60 yards, but he had 4 targets out of the backfield, caught all of them for 55 yards. I mean, he was being used out of the backfield. And I think that was the one hang up on him is what's his usage going to be catching the ball out of the backfield. And I mean, again, not a great day, but 115 total yards, didn't get the touchdowns, but I was pretty encouraged by that as well. So I don't know. That was probably my biggest takeaway from that game.
Yeah. It's tough, man. Like when does Philip Rivers actually see the bench? Because it's got to be coming. I mean, he had a good game overall, but his passes were not good. Like if you watch it, they did not pass the eye test, right?
No, they did not at all. I mean, he's always been kind of stiff and he's always had the weird like short arm passing. But even taking that into account, even knowing those things, he looked off. It wasn't pretty. I think he benefited a lot from Cincinnati was going a lot of zone. And his receivers were just finding the spots between the linebackers and the defensive backs, which they should do. And you rely on your quarterback to hit those. But he wasn't threading the needle anywhere. He was hitting some wide open guys for 371 yards. So I don't leave that game thinking that he's, you know, now all of a sudden the answer for Indianapolis. I can't see a situation where they go to Jacoby unless Rivers is really injured. But I said that like 2 weeks ago on the show about Washington not going away from Haskins, and he's benched like 2 days later. So
I told you that was going to happen.
I'll never say never, but they paid the vet, Philip Rivers, and I just kind of don't know. Jacoby didn't show out last year either, so I think that's maybe working against him. But
what about Eason, though? What about Eason?
I don't know. When you're 4-2, do you want to throw – not that they would do it this week, but they're contending right now, at least in the division. Are they going to throw in a really unproven guy when it's not really a throwaway season? I don't know. I think they might just stick with Rivers more than we want them to.
Yeah, it's going to take a few weeks for sure. I don't think that he's going to get benched, you know, tomorrow or anything like that. I highly doubt it. But, you know, it's something to keep an eye on moving forward. And it's something for your fantasy teams to keep an eye on as well. If you have Philip Rivers, you might want to grab Jacoby Brissett just to be safe, because I think the Colts would be stoked if he got injured. I mean, that sounds so messed up, but I really think that they would, just so that they could get in a guy that they know is a little bit more safe.
Yeah, I don't want to dominate the whole conversation with this game, but do you have anything to add about Marcus Johnson? Because he was one that I almost added in a couple leagues this week, and I'm looking and thinking, I think he's probably just a guy that might be getting a little opportunity, but he looked decent today. 5 catches, 108 yards. Is he someone that you're on board with going forward as a decent option?
I got to look a little bit more into the analytics side of things, so you guys can catch that stuff over there on Fantasy Intervention. FF_intervention. You guys can find me on Twitter, and we're going to be covering a lot of that probably this week. We're going to look pretty deep into that. But I do got to give a shout out to our boy over there at Fantasy Intervention, Juan. Oh my God, Juan nailed that. He nailed that take. Like, I couldn't believe it. He said it in our Fantasy Intervention, the Circle group chat, and he absolutely nailed it. He's like, you know, look for not only a bunch of random players to get touchdowns to start at the, you know, the Sunday slate, but also look out for Marcus Johnson. I was like, that's a little bit of a stretch. And then boom, he nailed it. He absolutely nailed it. Good job.
Yeah. He looked like the favorite target for Rivers, at least for today. So we'll see as that offense gets healthy, Pittman coming back, Mo Alie-Cox maybe getting back involved. You know, we'll see whether he fades away. But at least for today, looked pretty good out there. Highest target number on that team, 8 targets.
I absolutely loved it. I absolutely loved it. So the Eagles came back, and they almost actually tied the game. It came down to a 2-point conversion that they missed off of a terrible play call, by the way.
You think that's bad? To send two guys running into each other for the 2-pointer?
It was so bad.
I mean, it's an RPO where you're running. If you didn't see it, they literally Winston, was it Boston Scott in the game at the time? They literally ran into each other as Wentz held it. I think maybe he made the right read because Boston Scott would have gotten destroyed, but it didn't. He didn't do anything with it because they were all just cluttered right there. But
it was such. It didn't look like a natural play call. Like, it didn't look like they ran that play in practice very many times. Otherwise, you know, it might have actually worked, but no, it probably wouldn't have because the defense was already all over him. That Ravens front seven is absolutely brutal. I don't know why they would even think about doing that when you could hit a, you know, a quick hitch to Kroom, right? Jeremy Kroom, I think his name is, or Jason Kroom. Either way, the tight end, the four-string tight end for the Philadelphia Eagles, who played for the Bills prior to this, is actually extremely athletic, and I really like him. But now, the Ravens are a team to be reckoned with. And that's something we need to recognize going forward. They had a little bit of a gaffe up against, you know, Kansas City Chiefs, and they didn't look like themselves. But I think that they are a team that you know, needs to realize that they need to be reckoned with.
And it's actually, I think that team has some fantasy assets that are still underperforming that are going to boom eventually. Marquise Brown.
Hollywood Brown killed me.
6 targets today, most on the team again. 4 for 57, but he didn't break that big one that you're waiting for. I think was that last week where he had, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, he had an end zone drop or through his hands. I can't remember which one it was. But, you know, opportunities are there for him, but he hasn't had the boom game. And I thought, I'm still kind of waiting on Dobbins. I know he's a 2021 play, but with Ingram going out a little bit hobbled today, you thought, okay, he's ready to take over. And Gus Edwards comes in there and gets 14 carries. So,
yeah, I mean, that's a given, you know.
Yeah.
What is it? Death, taxes, and having no clue who the fuck's going to come in for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
That's the reality of the situation, and we're going to have to live with that, you know, going out. But maybe Ingram misses time. And Miles Sanders might miss time as well, by the way. He went out with an injury after breaking off a big, big run, which I was
stoked
about.
2 straight weeks for him with big runs. He had the –
But that's who he is, right?
60-yarder last week and 74 this week.
He's like a poor man Saquon Barkley from 2018. You know, where he's going to get boomer bust weeks, he's going to get boomer bust runs, and it's all dependent on the big playability. And we never know when it's going to come, so you might as well just play him every week. You know, that's pretty much what it boils down to. By the way, sorry, guys, for everybody that has Miles Sanders. I picked him up in the Scott Fishbowl, so that's why he's injured. You know, now it's 13 of my 17 players that I drafted in the Scott Fishbowl are now injured. So you're welcome. You're welcome for that.
So who are the 4 left? That's what we need to know. You know, this week, if you could just tweet those out, let us know. We'll start making trades to get rid of those guys.
Will Fuller, who's guaranteed.
Okay,
to be
well, that's a gimme.
Will Fuller's on there. It was another tight end who I have. Irv Smith Jr.'s on there. But anyways, we'll cover that on another episode, of course. But we talked about the Baltimore defense needed being reckoned with, right? Like recognizing this is an actual really good defense. Another really good defense is Pittsburgh Steelers who destroyed the Cleveland Browns, right?
Yeah, it was a complete dominating from really beginning to end. Cleveland looked overmatched. I don't know, you know, how much you want to attribute that to. I think Baker fans will say, you know, he's got, you know, injured ribs and that really impacts the play. And I'm sure it does, but this was not a one-off performance for him. Unfortunately, this has become kind of the norm, especially against half decent defenses. He can have good games against the Bengals of the world, but when you put him up against a good defense, his mechanics get a little wonky. His feet get pretty happy back there. He finishes the day 10 of 18, 119 yards and two picks. And you're just guaranteed he's going to throw at least one pick a game. He didn't look great, eventually replaced by Case Keenum. So I don't know.
People are blaming it on the injury, right?
I'm not going to say he's going to get benched now or not, because it hasn't worked out for me making those predictions. But pretty much everywhere that I have Baker Mayfield on my teams, I have Case Keenum as well already, just in case. But I think Keenum will be a hot pickup either way, because there's starting to be those whispers of, even if he's not, you know, severely injured, is he going to eventually be replaced? Because there's weapons on that team, and it feels like Baker Mayfield's holding them back just a little bit.
Yeah, and they don't expect much out of their wide receivers. They really don't. But to get 7 points up against the Steelers, who have allowed, what, like 21-plus points, I think, in almost every matchup, it's relatively close to that. I mean, the Steelers' defense has not been great this year up against the pass, although they've brought pressure all the time. We saw that, you know, repercussion this week. You got to do better, Baker. You got to do better. Listen, if you need a pep talk, Baker, I'm here for you. Just hit me up, FF_intervention, and I'll give you a pep talk, and we'll get you on the right page. Because your whole fade back to the right thing is ingrained in my brain, where he takes, you know, five-step drop, fades to the right, outside the pocket, even without pressure going on. And as he's backpedaling, he makes a weak-ass throw. And it's just – it's a sad thing to view and to have engraved in your brain. But on the Steelers side of things, Ben Roethlisberger finished with, like, what, like 200 yards and a touchdown, because
he didn't need to score.
162 and a touchdown, right? Woo. Oh, man. I thought in my predictions for this week, I had the Steelers defense destroying Baker Mayfield. But I also had Ben Roethlisberger for like 250 yards and like five touchdowns. Unfortunately, that didn't happen because Claypool got an end around. They got a pick six. It was like, I was like, no, like this is exactly what I saw happening.
Yeah.
Benny Snell scored a touchdown. I was like, this is exactly what I saw happening on the defensive side, but on the offensive side, it didn't click. And Juju Smith-Schuster, what did he finish with? Like two receptions and 6 yards or something along those lines? It was a sad week for Juju, and I thought he was going to absolutely destroy. I thought he was going to melt faces.
Yeah, I did too, and it's starting to enter the realm of concern for me. I know we don't know what next year will look like, assuming he's not even in Pittsburgh. You know, maybe goes to a great situation, but just for the rest of this year and then the uncertainty going forward, at least in Dynasty, I've got a lot more question marks. It's hard to – you could dismiss last year with the injuries and things like that to the quarterback position and, you know, kind of throw that year out the window, but now we're looking at we've got almost a season and a quarter or whatever, almost a season and a half, something like that, of subpar play, and I don't know. I'm a little concerned.
It's concerning. What's also concerning is that Texans and Titans defense, and the fact that I love Josh Allen, right? But he couldn't put up points on the Tennessee Titans. And maybe you could, you know, pay it forward to the fact that the Tennessee Titans were well rested and stuff, but the Texans come in and put up 36 points on the Titans. Meanwhile, the Titans put up 42 in overtime and win that game because Derrick Henry is an absolute monster. Oh, man. What was your big takeaways from the Titans and Texans?
I mean, every single week, pretty much, unfortunately, my two takeaways for the Titans are I've been too low on Derrick Henry, and I continue to be too low on him, and I dismissed Ryan Tannehill too early. I did that last year. Wrote it off to extreme efficiency that is just no matter what bound to regress. And with more passing volume this year, we'll see some of that efficiency dip down. And will he be able to make up for it with the volume? Don't know. And he's remained extremely efficient, really, no matter who he's going up against. Last week, he had a rushing touchdown last week, or at least some rushing production that helped his day. And then today, he didn't run the ball at all, but he throws four touchdowns, 364 yards. That connection between him and AJ Brown looks real sweet. AJ Brown hasn't missed a beat, you know, being out a few games with the knee bruise or whatever, the bone bruise.
Looks good, man.
Yeah, he looks nasty. So,
meanwhile, Johnny went out with an injury, by the way.
Yeah,
that worries me a little bit because he was seen running on the sidelines with the trainers, but they told him he couldn't come back in. So I think he's still going to play next week, but it's still a little bit concerning. They do have the Pittsburgh defense, who just like we talked about, held Cleveland to 7 points. So are you expecting the same thing from the Titans?
No, I trust that Titans offense so much more than the Cleveland offense. So I think next week they'll still be able to put up points against Pittsburgh. Derrick Henry, dude, he's a beast. I had 94-yard run today, 212 on the day. The last play to win the game in overtime, I'm like, you're going wildcat from the, what, 4 or 5 yards, like, something like that. I'm like,
but he did it. And he made it
I'm
work.
I'm thinking, you know, like, you're telling the offense, hey, we're running the ball here. There's no question about it. And he
Vrabel doesn't give up.
He still literally just like waited, was very patient on the run, found where I needed to go, and just barreled right into the end zone. I'm like, okay, that's impressive. Like, Vrabel trusts his guys. He trusts his scheme. And he's got, you know, 3 or 4, if you want to include Jonnu in that, extremely high-end fantasy assets, especially, you know, in Dynasty and in super flex leagues for Tannehill. So that's actually a really fun team to watch now, 5-0 on the season.
Yeah, they got Pittsburgh, then a bye, then Pittsburgh again, if their schedule didn't switch up, which might have. But they're 5-0, man. They're 5-0. Mm-hmm. That's crazy to me. But, you know, I still expect them to make the playoffs this year. But what if they finish out as first in the AFC and they get that bye? Do they have a chance at the Super Bowl?
I mean, it's hard to say not based on what they did last year. And then it was that AFC championship last year, right? And then you get to 5 games into this season, you haven't lost. Henry is no Swift, Tyler says. I would say, yeah, they're a little bit different stylistically. You're right about that. but yeah, I think Tennessee could make a run. The old adage of like running in defense type of thing, which is kind of cliche, but they run the ball well. They know their identity. They don't really go away from it no matter what. I think they could make a deep run in the AFC this year.
Did we already pull up this message over here where Tyler gave 2 first and a second round this morning for Swift? How did he do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did we already pull that up? Was that already on the screen? Sorry, I was trying to do some research. Tyler just threw us to the wolves.
It was on the screen. Yeah. I mean, on the surface, it's an overpay, right? It's an overpay to say, oh, 2 firsts and a second. However, I think Tyler likes DeAndre Swift, if I'm not mistaken. I'm kidding. Obviously, he loves him. So I'm all about the go get your guy thing. If that's what it takes, would you have just, even without the second, done 2 firsts for Swift? I don't know. I don't think I would have, but I know I'm not as high on him as others.
I think it's a little bit of an overpay. So, all right, we got a 2021 first and a 2022 first and a 2022 second. Okay. I think it's a little bit of an overpay, although I'm probably the highest person in the world on Swift, even higher than Tyler, for real. And I still think that's a slight overpay. I think you could have gotten him for cheaper, but if that's what it takes, then you got to get your guy, right?
Yeah.
You got to get your guy. I love Swift, man. I'm going to go to bed dreaming about him tonight. Like wet dreams. I mean, like not wet dreams. Sorry. All right. So Washington and Riverboat Ron, right? They gambled and they gave away the game to the Giants, but Kyle Allen looked terrible. Gibson was not involved in the offense near enough. JD McKissick had a lot of the touches, way more than he should have. Meanwhile, Daniel Jones looked okay. He didn't turn the ball over as many times as I thought he would. You know, is there anything to take fantasy value wise out of this game? I mean, Slayton, no. He was hurt a little bit, but like, yeah, it's so gross.
It's disgusting. Every single week, he scored last week, I actually think on a rushing touchdown, but I keep waiting for Evan Engram to do something. It's like, you are by far, I won't say by
useless.
Far. I
guess
you could argue Slayton is, you know, a talented pass catcher there as well, but Evan Engram should be the focal point of that offense with Saquon Barkley out, and the dude's throwing up 2 catches every game. 20 yards, 30 yards. So tight end premium giving you a solid 7-8 points a week. Real confident throwing him in there. This game was disgusting. I honestly didn't watch a second of it. I would never wish that upon my worst enemy. How long until Riverboat goes back to Haskins, or does he ever? I know there's some rumblings that there's some deeper things going on there more than just play.
Well, he's very immature, and it's something that's carried over to the practice field. It's something that, you know, like we see Madison, right? And Madison over there for the Vikings, he likes to mess around. He likes to play. But when the team is ready to actually practice, he goes all in. I don't think that's the same thing with Haskins. Side note, Tyler, if you want to fight me for Swift's love, you're going to have to actually come on a podcast with us one time at least. Come on, man. You can't sit there and say you're gonna fight me and you never even show face.
What come a on, keyboard dude. Warrior, Tyler. Yeah, come keyboard on, warrior.
Dude, what a keyboard warrior. That's all Tyler's good at. It's being a keyboard. I got muted.
I was gonna say, I was like, I think I just lost your audio for a second.
I got muted. That was great. No, so Haskins gonna end up with a different team. I wasn't a fan. So I used to be a fan of the Washington football team for 30 years, right? And I'm trying to renounce my fandom. I'm trying to step away. I love their defense and stuff, but I just don't like the decision-making. I wanted to just go with Stefanski, and I wanted us to pile on – or retain, I should say, Bill Callahan as the offensive assistant slash offensive line coach. And guess what? Guess what happened? The Browns did that. And the Browns are looking good outside of Baker Mayfield's gaffes. You know, the whole system's working out and everything like that. But the reality is they want a young quarterback over there to kind of take the starting role and to be conservative. And that's what we needed with Dwayne Haskins to be able to develop. Meanwhile, you have Riverboat Ron, who just wants to gamble on half the plays and wants to try and get him to roll out and be uncomfortable with his play calling style, which, by the way, the majority of that is Scott Turner, not Riverboat Ron. But it's still something to where, hey, this is not his style of play. He needs to be conservative. He needs to get high completion percentage balls, and that's not what's happening. So it's something to where we need to make sure that – or Washington needs to make sure that they get the right quarterback in there. And a conservative Dwayne Haskins that needs to develop is not the right guy. Now, could he wait in the wing? Could he earn the coach's graces by the end of it? Sure. But there's a good chance he's not on the Washington football team's roster, especially if they end up, you know, losing the remainder of the season. And they have a shot at Justin Fields, who is a phenomenal, phenomenal prospect that would fit perfectly in the system, mm-hmm. especially with, of course, Riverboat Ron contributing to Cam Newton's yep. success. All right. Let's see. Any other games that really stood out? The Lions. Oh, man. They're looking great. Meanwhile, the Jaguars looking terrible. And you have to keep in mind the Jaguars' schedule previously as well. The Jaguars have not had a very hard schedule. And them getting blown out of the Lions, I think, is indicative of what's to come. You know, Minshew's good. I love Minshew. He's the man. He's the myth. He's the legend. He's Minshew. But him being a viable fantasy quarterback is questionable week to week. And we saw it this week. DeAndre Swift's the man. Anything else from this game itself? I know we already covered it briefly, but
no,
it
was mainly about Swift. Think the only thing is, unfortunately for Lions fans, the Matt Patricia firing is going to have to wait a little bit longer, because obviously you're not going to do that after a win. if they lost today, that would have opened the window to maybe do it. So
I don't think they would have done it, man. I think they're on point with what they want to do. I mean, they've been in the lead, you know, the majority of the time, and they set the record. What is it, like four weeks in a row where they blew a 10-point lead? And that's not always good, obviously. That's actually really bad. But I'm at like, least they got the lead, you know? Like, at least they had it at some point with a really bad team.
They also started off every game tied 0-0, so that's something as well to keep in mind.
It really works that way?
Yeah. So Matt Patricia has led his team to at least a tie to start the game every single week, so...
Good
point. Not much from that game. Galladay's back though, so that's good. 4 for 105. Back as Stafford's number one option, so that was good to see.
So the Jets, Joe Flacco's like a must add this week, right?
I don't know why he's still in the league. Like, for his own sake and for like everyone's sake, I don't know why he continues to play. But yeah, putting up the old bagel today against the Dolphins.
Oh man, it's a shutout. The Dolphins had a shutout. It's incredible. They would never in a million years would I have said that Dolphins would have a shutout this week. Like, that's insane to me. Is that crazy to you? Like, or is it just me?
I mean, it's crazy unless you consider the opponent. I mean, it's the Jets. Like, I have not seen a team this like look this bad in a number of years. It's just must not watch TV.
But Adam Gase is like the parasite that's controlling the ownership. Meanwhile, Tagovailoa actually got some snaps in here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Man. 2 for 2 for 9 yards. It's impressive.
Hey.
Man, yeah. Joe Flacco's completion percentage was below 50%. Plus he had an interception. Mm-hmm. And obviously he did not have a touchdown. Oh, man, but I will tell you.
This was the Mike Gesicki owner tilt game, as he had zero catches, 0 yards, 0 touchdowns, and you saw two other tight ends, I think, for Miami. Get in there and score. So
Gesicki's not a tight end. He's a slot receiver.
Yeah, well, whatever he is, he's a disappointment this week.
He did see two targets, but he didn't complete either one of those. James Crowder is still in heaven over there with Joe Flacco at quarterback. And any slot receiver would be with of course, Adam Gase. 13 targets, 7 receptions, no touchdowns. But he did get 48 yards. So, like, he got 5 yards per reception. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Oh, man. Oh, man. So, outside of that, nothing really stood out outside of the Packers or the Buccaneers beat down on the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
CBS Sports has that a little bit mixed up because they have the Packers at 38. But are you taking anything away from this outside of just a, you know, a missed week by the Packers? Like,
No, I think this is just one of those weeks where things unraveled quickly. Packers were up 10-0, has back-to-back possessions with an interception. I think one of those being a pick six.
Yep.
Just completely changed the entire trajectory of that game. Even though it wasn't like that happened late in the game, I think that was still the first half. It still just changed the entire kind of momentum, and Ronald Jones was able to get going on the ground. It was baffling that Equanimeous St. Brown is out there running routes even, because he looks so bad trying to catch passes from Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers looks extremely frustrated. And I'm like, he's never going to be a thing, is he?
He's getting back to it, man. He's getting back to it. Give it time. I'm not an Equanimeous St. Brown fan, but no. They need receivers over there. So it's a chance that, you know, he actually is the thing and he's just getting back in shape, although I never really thought he was in shape. But yeah. MVS looked kind of good, didn't he? Like, MVS looked all right from what I saw.
Yeah, he was all right. This was the Gronk revival game, though, for Tampa Bay. I mean, he was out there 5 catches for 78 yards. It was funny, though, because I mean, he never was like...
He looked so bad. He looked so,
I know,
like,
that's what I'm saying. He was never like the smoothest guy out there, because he usually had the huge old elbow brace on. But like, the dude looks like a robot when he's running. And and I will continue to slander ESB.
Tyler.
Yeah. But yeah, it was Gronk's back for this week at least. Mike Evans remains weirdly underused a little bit, or underutilized, I guess, unless he's scoring touchdowns. So 2 targets, 1 catch, 10 yards. So
if there was an athletic profile for like a quarterback for like Tom Brady as a tight end, it would be Rob Gronkowski.
That's accurate. Yeah.
Like that's how just lumbering, yeah, like, and slow and unathletic he looked. But he's a great blocker, and that's why they have him. It's like 2 left tackles. They want to keep Tom Brady on his feet. So they have 2 left tackles, Gronkowski at 31 years of age, 32, 33. However old he is now. Huh?
I said old.
Yeah. Old years of age.
Yeah.
You know, he's turned into a lighter or poor man's version of a left tackle. And they got the rookie Tristan Wirfs, right? Yeah. Tristan Wirfs. It's something where he's primarily a blocker. And I think this is kind of a outlier week, but we'll see what happens. Yeah. Tanner Hudson still might be a thing. Anyways, guys, before we pop into what's going to happen tonight and what we expect to happen tonight, Taylor, where can we find you?
You can find me out on Twitter at _TaylorCornell. Currently, you know, doing some stuff with the old intervention team there. So
are you actually doing stuff, because we're waiting for it?
I was out of town this weekend. I'm also out of town this week. So you might have to wait just one more week to get my debut video out there. But yeah, out on Twitter is mostly where I'm at these days.
Guys, we got some big things going on over there at Fantasy Intervention. It's at @joinourcircle_. Obviously, Tyler, you know, wanted a higher quality of life. And everybody knows that if you're talking fantasy football, you're not making any money. You're doing a ton of work, and you're literally just slaving yourself out for the people that are listening. That's how this works. But it's okay, because we love doing it. And the reality is you know, Tyler actually had some more important things going on, and things that actually mattered, not fantasy football. It's things that actually matter in life. And so, you know, he ended up, you know, moving on from the website, and I had some people that were part of the team that I was very good friends with. And we decided to kind of, you know, carry some of the stuff over to Fantasy Intervention. And it's been awesome. We've been pumping out videos, been pumping out content, and I have no life. Right. I have no life. I can't wait for my first shift back to work over there on November 14th. But, you know, with having no life comes the availability to actually you know, reach out and do fantasy football analytics and do fantasy football statistics for you guys. And it's been fun. So go check us out over there. It's at joinourcircle_, because some knitting company took over at joinourcircle. What a bunch of jerks. They haven't even been on since 2015. So it's at joinourcircle_. You guys can also find us at linktr.ee/fantasyintervention. Guys, we're excited, man, with everything going on. But of course, our loyalty lies with Dynasty Happy Hour. These are the guys that got us started. Tyler was the one that graced us with this opportunity, and we are more than grateful. So big shout out to Tyler, and big shout out to, you know, his life progressions, not just in fantasy football, you know, Wonderland. So big shout out to you, Tyler. With that being said, what do we got for the late game?
Well, I mean, since we are fluffing Tyler's feathers here, I'm going to call a Cam Akers. Yeah. What did I say?
No, I just wanted to make sure you said feathers and not something else.
Well, yeah, I think I said feathers. If not, you can edit it. I'm going to call a Cam Akers breakout tonight because that's what he's looking for. So let's give it to him. I'm not banking on it. But yeah, let's see what happens. I don't know. Where are you at with this 49ers defense? I know the team as a whole has been dinged up, and then last week they gave up 43 to Miami. They lost the week before to a decimated Eagles team. Are they that feared defensive unit that you typically would avoid for fantasy matchups, or is that kind of a thing of the past right now?
So I've done a lot of research on this. I've done a lot of in-depth studies, and you know, my conclusion has came to the fact that I don't know.
I asked you because I have no opinion.
So I've done so much, like I've dove into this, like, you know, heavily, and I think it's something where the replacement players that are coming in have to get used to the system, because the defensive system and everything that's going on, like, these players are accredited to the system, not the system being credited to the players, in my opinion, outside of DeForest Buckner. So with that being said, like, it's going to be a tough game to see what's going on. And I don't know, this podcast might be coming out in the morning, so we might have our answer by tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
But I'm expecting this to be a Rams pass heavy game. I'm expecting Darrell Henderson to be used a lot in the passing game. If not, Cam Akers, sure, I could go with it. I don't love it. There's just so many questions behind it. And I'm interested to see what's to come from this game, just because of the mysteries behind the running game, behind the San Francisco defense. And I don't think there's answers out there. I mean, I spent 3 hours studying this game, and I just didn't feel confident in sitting there and being like, oh, this is my guy, and this is my guy, and this is my guy. Outside of maybe the stud over there at tight end for San Francisco, I don't know. I just
Ross Dwelly?
Ross Dwelly, yes, Ross Dwelly.
Yeah, I mean, is Garoppolo making it through a whole game? That's what I want to see.
Well, supposedly he's been a lot healthier. His ankle's, you know, been That's held good. Up. But it is a high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
So you have to plant, and you have to, you know, force your body through that process. And if you don't, then you're going to lean back, and that's what causes overthrows. And that's what we saw this past week, is Jimmy Garoppolo sailing balls because he couldn't plant and follow through with his throws. If that happens again, yeah, not good, Bob. Not good. But it is what it is, man. And it's something where I don't want to – I'm not playing any DFS for this matchup, which I normally do play Sunday night DFS. I'm not playing any DFS. I'm trying to stay away from my actual gameplay with this outside of, you know, the studs in this game. I want to see what happens. I want to wait and see. And I know that's not great, you know, advice, obviously, but it's something where, like, you know, you wait with a, you know, player that has an injury that's questionable, mm-hmm. that has high ankle sprain. Like, I wanted to wait on Michael Thomas last week, although he didn't play. I wanted to wait and see before I actually rolled my guys out. And that's kind of where I'm standing with this game and this matchup.
Same. No, sorry. I was looking up Kittle's stats last year against LA just to see. He ended up going 16 for 180 and a touchdown in two games. So
yeah, he's the stud. Like, you're gonna roll him.
He'll be fine.
But Taylor Rapp is actually stepping it up as a safety position. And that actually makes me a little bit nervous. But not, I mean, it's George Kittle.
Right.
All right, guys. Oh man, what are the sponsors again? Trophy Smack.
Roll with it.
Yeah, Trophy Smack. Go to Trophy Smack. Buy a trophy. God, sorry, Tyler. I completely forgot. You need to remind me about these damn sponsorships. I'm blaming it on
you. Hey guys, you gotta win a league first before you can get the trophy. So you got a few weeks here till the end of the season. In the meantime, we will make sure we keep pushing trophysmack.com. Get a free ring, something like that.
God, I'm getting fired. I'm so getting fired. All right, guys. Thank you all for tuning in to, of course, this episode of Chasing Points. Love you guys. Thank you, Tyler, for having us and dealing with us once again. And, of course, thank you, Taylor, for dealing with a long road trip. And, yeah.
That's what I do. That's what I do for the team, guys.
All right, guys. I will see you all later. I got the promo.
Hit him.
Woo! All right. If you go to trophysmack.com, right, and you get a trophy for your league, and which you should, by the way, these trophies are awesome. I got a trophy for one of my leagues. I'm actually really stoked about it. Yeah, Trophy Smack is amazing. But if you go to Trophy Smack and you buy a trophy and you enter in DHH Ring, that's right, DHH Ring. As in Dynasty Happy Hour Ring. Then guess what? You get a free ring. It's like a $60 value. And you get a free ring with your trophy. It's absolutely amazing. And the trophies over there are really cool. They got one with like a unicorn on it. Did you see that one, Taylor?
I haven't seen that one.
It's got a unicorn on it. It's really cool. It's really pretty. I like it. Anyways, guys, make sure you guys go check out trophysmack.com and enter in DHH Ring as the promo code. So that way you can get a free ring and give it to the last place person because you have sympathy for their feelings, or just keep it for yourself. Anyways, guys, thank you all for tuning in to Chasing Points. We're out of here.